This podcast replay is brought to you by EJDConstruction.com. Call Eric at EJD Construction at 305-433-4843. They do it all, residential or commercial. EJDConstruction.com is the custom home builder and general contractor you can trust. 305-433-4843.
All right, there he is. What's that, a mask or something under here?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
I gotta be masked up in here. So
hey man, I got no problem with that. I completely understand. It's the world we live in right now until we can get through this damn pandemic.
Yeah,
we gotta adjust and protect each other, man. That's what it's all about. I got no problem with that. All right. I thought it was a really cool thing to hear that Preston Williams is in a good place mentally and physically, knowing that Will Fuller is out and you really need a playmaker. I would really like to see this young man, you know, get back on the field and start to show us some of the stuff that he did in his first year when he was really wowing all of us with his potential. Your thoughts on Preston Williams? What, you didn't like his potential?
I thought that in his first year, Dolphin fans got a little bit overhyped, a little bit crazy. He was having some strong camps, partly fueled by Ryan Fitzpatrick and his ability to put it up and give you an opportunity to go get it. Then Dolphin fans got all hot and bothered and frustrated that he was returning punts and got injured on returning a punt. Then they're like, oh, he's too talented to return a punt. Why is he back there? You know,
He's also not good enough to be returning punts.
He's actually pretty good at it. He's actually pretty good at it. He has
for a big dude. Yeah, but he shouldn't be returning punts. That's he's not supposed to be your best punt returner.
We also have him to our best punt returner.
But what I'm saying is you should be able to find somebody else, even if it's not Jakeem. Somebody, okay,
yeah,
you know, I had done Preston Williams.
That was a little liquor for Jakeem. Say, huh? Hey, listen, they got a 2023 sixth. You wouldn't take a fifth. Do you remember those days? You wouldn't
a fifth. No, I wouldn't. But once he stops dropping special teams punts, you can't defend.
Hey, listen, Jakeem dropped everything.
He was terrible as a wide receiver. The problems weren't that bad as a returner, but
watch him start playing well for Justin Fields. And the reason I say this is because
wake up call. Why not?
Yeah, I mean you're on your last lifeline in the NFL.
Right.
Yeah, like you don't start producing right this very minute, your time is over.
Right.
Somebody younger and more talented. So, you know, I wish him the best of luck. You know, everybody knows we had our beef. We had our issues. But, you know, my issues were always Jakeem double catches everything, like from day one. And
right.
I don't rock with that as a receiver and a returner. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
All right, but back to Preston Williams. How much could he help? If he's healthy, I guess
He's not going to be your savior.
I didn't say savior. I said, you know, you need somebody else to be consistent on the other side of the damn field.
Yeah, no.
You got no Will Fuller. I mean, you know, so that's why I'm asking. What do you think?
You're not as hopeful
of him helping then.
No. It could happen. I just don't think Preston has, you know, mentally what it takes to thrive in the NFL. I mean, I've seen him dominate practice, and then it gets to game time, and then he's AWOL. He's nowhere to be found. And you know, I'm like, why is this not translating to the games? And if you paid attention to what this team's problem is, it's you know, whatever you're doing is not translating to the games. And that's been Preston's issue. Preston last camp, dominated camp, just looked like a beast. Then we got to the games and it was like, yo, where is this dude? And, you know, he played one game, good game against Arizona, and then gets hurt and it's bye-bye. So, you know,
The second year wasn't as productive, or didn't show us as much.
He killed it in camp. I'm more interested.
And remember, X also said, this guy has number one talent too.
Which is not
the kind of fluff that you normally just throw around.
X also loves Kirk Merritt. So like put it where.
So do I, by the way. I love Kirk Merritt too. I think I like what I saw from Kirk Merritt. I got no problem with that.
X has got
a little personnel in him down the line. Who knows?
I still hold out hope for Albert Wilson. It's not a long lifeline because we're here now at week four. The stuff that we saw early in training camp, like where the hell is it? Now that was with Tua. It wasn't with Jacoby. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, but
maybe it could be resurrected next week when he comes back.
But if you're expecting somebody to come and save this team, the Calvary's not coming. Yeah.
No. This has to be people not committing penalties and not dropping balls and not fumbling and making your blocks.
I think Preston,
you know, all that kind of stuff will save this team.
I think Preston, this is why I have an issue with Preston. Because I think him and Devontae Parker play the exact same role, the exact same position, and I think you can only have one of them on the field at the same time to make this offense work. And now Devontae is battling an injury. I could definitely – the talk today was totally bigging up Preston, and props to them for doing it because, you know, hey, sometimes these guys struggle with things mentally just as much as they struggle with things physically. And – yeah, let's talk him up, but you know the end result has to be him going out there and producing on game day. And
yeah,
I can tell you the list is very short of guys who produce on game day.
Yeah, but he's still young, man. So I'm not.
I hate when people say that, and I'm at the point because we said that we made that excuse for the offensive line all offseason. That's what we did.
They are still young.
Yeah, still young and not talented. Like, make sure you add that caveat at the end of it.
Because they only have 1 year, and another guy's a rookie. So
still young and not talented. Not very talented. Not very good. They're the talent deficient.
There's a lot of guys that don't look talented and not very good,
and they get that shit done. They get it done. You're right.
And then they figure it out. So
okay.
I can't say that, you know, they're all going to look like this for the rest of their careers. I'm just not ready here. Speaking of those positions, first of all, let's start off with the O-line. Are you expecting any changes? Do you think they'll try the Austin Jackson route one more time? What are you hearing? What are you feeling? What's your gut tell you?
I am expecting changes.
I know you wrote an article about all the changes you want, but go ahead.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not shy about it. You know me. I'm not shy about it.
No, I get it. I got no problem with that.
And you know, I'm sorry, but I think I've seen. I said to you a month ago. I said after Austin struggled in the Buffalo Bills game. What second game of the season was who?
What game hasn't he struggled?
Well put. Excellent. Well put. I said, you know, until Tua comes back, you've got a three-game audition at left tackle. And I'm still committed to that three-game audition. So let's carry this over one more game. Let's give it one more shot.
This might be a shot with a short hook, right?
I don't know.
No?
I don't know. To me, all of this team's issues, every single issue, begins and ends with the offensive line. The reason why your running game isn't working because you can't have your top two backs on the field because they can't pass protect. The reason why your pass game not working, you're very limited in how you use Mike Gesicki because he can't pass protect. Okay, well, if you had a line that could pass protect better, then that helps address some of that. Your quarterback, he's not looking downfield. He's not throwing big. He's not finding open receivers. Yeah, because every time he snaps the ball, his head's on a swivel because people are coming. Yeah. You know, That like, tell me what play people are not coming. So
when he hands it off.
so You know, and to me, the line issues, yeah, you just lost your starting center, but the line issues start with the left side, because the left side is the weaker side, and you got to get Austin Jackson to play better. If you can't get Austin Jackson to play better, you should put Liam in there at left tackle, possibly try Jesse at right tackle, or try Jesse at right guard and put Hunt at right tackle. I don't care that everybody will be moving. Let's not act like what you're doing isn't hot shit, because it's hot shit.
Okay, I just want to try to kind of defend what maybe they're trying to do, and maybe they think Eichenberg is their best guy.
Yeah. Okay. No question.
And in the end, it's a lefty. So no matter what, and maybe that's why he says. And Eichenberg, probably Notre Dame guy, really smart, is going, no, I want to stay at right tackle. No, I'm good. Because on this team, you're really the left tackle at right.
Man, worry about.
So maybe they're already convinced that Eichenberg is their best guy. And they're like, okay, well, if he's our best guy and our guy's a lefty, then we got to keep him at right tackle and let him learn there. And then we'll figure out on the left side with everybody else. That's the only thing I can think of, Omar, why they haven't
I hear you, and I've thought it out, and I've asked the position coaches. I've spoken to John Pierre, and he pointed out that, you know, all teams have good ends on both sides. So it's not, yes, the right tackle is protecting Tua's blind side, but the left tackle faces the best pass rusher on your team.
Yes.
And if you're just getting beat with the left tackle all game long, you're in for a long day.
Yeah.
A very long day. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not opposed to leaving Liam there. And then I guess that means playing either Greg Little or Jesse Davis at left tackle, which I don't like either of those options. I could figure out the Liam situation later, but right now, I might need him to patch up my left side of my line.
But where'd the injury come from? The blind side.
They call Jesse slipping. But you know what? Let's not act like Robert Hunt.
But that's my point, that your quarterback did not see that coming, and he got absolutely nailed. So
He didn't see sacks coming from the left side, too. Sacks was coming from they was just coming.
But they're coming, but he's got a chance at seeing it, at least from the left side.
He's got great pocket presence, at least he has a chance to react.
So I'm just thinking that this is what I've come to, that they're convinced Eichenberg's their best guy, and they're like, well, we're going to put him on the most desperate part we need is on the right side, which is why our guy is out right now, because he got blindsided with a monster hit. So now let's protect his blind side with our best alignment. And I think that's their thinking. That's the only.
It could be their thinking, but it's the wrong thinking in my mind. And I'm more focused on patching your troublesome leak. And it's easier to use Eichenberg to patch your troublesome leak and then go address the right side. I'm sorry, you could put Hunt out there at right tackle. He was good last year at right tackle. Now, you claim you need him for the run game, so you put him at right guard. Okay,
but
great.
If he's excelling at guard.
How's your run game doing?
Yeah, but we can't complain about moving guys around, and then when there's a guy that's actually settling on his position, then we move him out. You know what I'm saying? And I know what you're saying, because what you're saying makes a lot of sense, because Hunt has legit tackle talent.
Yeah.
You're not using him to help you out. He actually can be a right tackle permanently.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But again, here's the other thing. Short quarterbacks, your guards and your center have to be so rock solid, because those are the guys that are going to keep the passing lanes, you know, clean for him.
Possibly.
And that's kind of what they did in New Orleans a lot.
Okay.
In New Orleans, they didn't really spend big money on their tackles. They would draft them even late, like Teron Armstead and stuff like that, and out of small schools. But if you noticed throughout the Brees tenure, they drafted high their centers and their guards, or they went after them in free agency and paid a lot of money. They spent most of their money in the middle. Why? They could not have the pocket crumble for a short quarterback. They could not have the pocket crumble for the passing lanes. So I don't know if they're also thinking along the same lines that it's imperative for a shorter quarterback to have real strength in the middle of that line so he can sit in the pocket and he can have a clean pocket at the same time.
You know what you should be thinking if you're George Godsey and Eric Stutzel? You should be thinking, how do I not get fired at the end of the year? That's where your focus should be. And how do I not, like, take away 60% of my playbook because I can't protect the quarterback and I can't run the ball? Yeah, that's what you should be thinking, because both of you are going to get fired at the end of the year.
It's not their fault. It's not their fault.
What's not their fault?
It's Flo's fault. Let me run this by you.
Okay.
So Flo thought that you would get a rookie quarterback that's inexperienced and injury prone, and you're going to put him behind a rookie line that's inexperienced, and you're going to use a rookie offensive line coach that has really never built his own great line ever to then be run by offensive coordinators who have never had any kind of great success and developed any kind of great offense. So the fact that there is no experience, no success, top to bottom on offense, and you expect that to succeed.
Don't just put that on Flo, because the person.
That's Flo's decision. Those are his coaches. He chose to go with those kind of coaches.
He chose the coordinators and the position.
And by the way, he chose to have that young line. Because it's him that says, I don't want Karras. It's him that says, no, I don't want the other guy that's in Washington. We can coach these guys up. There's no way the GM is telling him, I'm giving you these young guys.
Personnel decisions. The team turns over to Flores during training camp. Greer is accountable, responsible. He will tell you this. He will say this.
Of course, he's going to say it.
It doesn't matter. That's on me. And he's made the personnel moves, not Flores. So when that trade was made, when all trades are made, it's not Brian Flores on the phone. It's Chris Greer.
So why do you think Jacoby Brissett is here?
Because they sat down in their team meetings.
Who do you think brought him in? You think
they sat down in their team meetings and they said, okay, here's our viable options for backup centers at the price point that we're gonna go to. These are what our draft options look like. Let's not use our draft options. You've got a relationship with Jacoby. Can he run this offense? Is he good? Is he smart? Is he a leader? Yeah. Okay. How much do you think he's worth? Okay. He's worth this. Is he better than all the other options that are out there?
That's Flo's call, dude. That's Flo's call.
No, that's not how this organization works.
Dude, there's too many New England players here.
That's not how this organization. Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but that's not how this organization works.
Flo and Adam Gase are doing the same shit. They're bringing in people that they know, that they're comfortable with.
Every coach does that.
I know that.
Spano did that.
Well, that's Philbin what I'm saying. These guys are doing it.
I don't blame anything from the Patriots players that are here. Patriots players helped you establish culture. While none of them might be very good anymore, last year it was your culture that dug you out of a 1-3 hole. Right? Was it not? Let's be real about it.
No, young players too stepping up. Guys like Van Ginkle helping you out.
The culture has to be established.
Yes,
it was your culture that played a significant role in you digging yourself out of 1-3 hole and finishing 10-6. Yet that culture was formulated by a lot of former Patriots players.
Yeah, but that culture, like you said, and you're the first guy to say it, Kyle Van Noy did not play well.
I don't believe in culture.
Culture doesn't mean shit if Kyle Van Noy is not playing well.
Yeah, I'm not a big culture guy, but I can't sit here and blame Flores for bringing former Patriots players when it's that look,
personnel goes on both guys, on Greer and Flores.
Absolutely. But, I will never hold both of them accountable for what we're seeing.
They both are held accountable, but my point is the New England players, the influence comes from him. There's
all
no
the influence comes from him. I'm sorry, if you know the individuals involved, you know Chris Greer's going to take a backseat to whoever he's working with.
Yes.
And he's going to deliver who you want.
Right.
So,
yes.
But that doesn't mean that Chris Greer is the H person in charge, head person in charge. Like,
yes.
It all stops with him. So,
yes.
I can't sit here and say, oh, well, Brian Flores is responsible for this. Brian Flores is responsible, but he is
responsible for his offensive coordinators. He is responsible for his offensive line coach. He is responsible for having all the youth and inexperience that he has
on the offensive side.
And that's why there's that much failure, because there is nothing that's established on offense right now. It wasn't a good plan. It was a terrible plan.
You should have had
a couple of veteran linemen in there to help out. You didn't do that.
They did, and then they got rid of them. Which I don't understand. One is injury, the other is a trade. You give money away, and the guy's starting four games for Washington. Listen, you're right. They made this mess. It is a mess. Who sat here 2 months ago and told you it was going to be a mess?
You did.
I did.
Yes.
It was very predictable. But it was predictable from the start because the players that they were investing in were not that talented. I told you from the beginning, Austin Jackson ain't that talented.
He might be talented. He may not be good enough, but he might be talented.
He's talented. He's talented.
He may not know how to put it together. You know what I'm saying? But and by the way, when you see him out there on the podium, does it look to you like he's a guy that's pissed off enough about his play?
Yeah, because that's another thing. I had some long before I wrote my column about basically saying Austin Jackson needs to be playing left guard if we want to preserve his career. He needs a fresh start in a new position that's a little bit easier and a little bit more suited for his skill set. And I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings, and it probably does, but I'm looking for the longevity of finding the solutions to what is wrong with this team. And that's generally what's wrong with this team. I know right now they got a center who's got an injured neck playing against Ndamukong Suh, who you know is going to mess up his neck. Intentionally. So he'll grab the neck and twist it because he's a Ndamukong Suh. There are little fires every single Sunday that Flo has to put out. And the problem is when the fire is on the offensive line, it turns into a forest fire. It just does. So no matter what, so my thing is, let's shore up some areas. Like, we know Eichenberg, Hunt, Davis are good players. I know everybody wants to. Jesse Davis got the quarterback hurt. Oh my God, Jesse Davis sucks. Well, I'm sorry. Jesse Davis is generally reliable, consistent. Just give me reliable and consistent.
Well, so I got he has to start on this team. It's not like you've got a bunch of studs, and then you can say, yeah, Jesse's your sixth guy on this team. He's your best lineman right now.
I watched him today, work with guys on technique and things of that nature, because I think he's, I think he's on the move again. And it is what it is. You can't keep doing the same thing expecting, and that was part of my column. You can't keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. That's like the definition of insanity. And I know they're not going to have a consistent starting unit on the line. I really do believe that.
And again, to be fair, you chose to go so young all over the line and they're all not established. This is actually part of the world of offensive linemen. There are lots of offensive linemen that come in as centers and end up as guards, guards that end up centers, tackles that end up guards, guards that end up tackles. And you just didn't see it coming. That's just the way it is. That happens all the time in the history of the NFL. Lots of linemen play a completely different position than they start in college. Yeah. That happens all the time. The problem is, dude, you four young linemen, it's just too much. Nobody does that kind of crazy ass stuff. You usually have
I'm sure there's somebody who's done it. I'm sure there's somebody.
And I'm sure it was a disaster. Unless all four of them were like, you know.
I think the Patriots one year they did three, not four, but three.
And they had the greatest offensive line coach in the history of the NFL. That's the difference there. Whereas this guy doesn't have that reputation. So to give him this homework is really unfair to what is it? Lampierre? How is it pronounced?
Yeah. Jean-Pierre.
It's super unfair to him. You know, this is the kind of stuff that the guy from New England, or used to be in New England, that's the guy that should be getting.
Wouldn't it be great to bring him in as a consultant right now?
Oh my God. That would be phenomenal. All right, so punt returns. What happens now? I am concerned about this now. And
why?
We have talked about this. Jalen Waddle's off of foot surgery. I don't want him full-time returning. I didn't want him full-time returning in the offseason.
Flo says he's going to have his best guys out there. Your best guy is Jalen Waddle. End of conversation.
There's no way I'm arguing that. Okay? Tell me, who else is he going to use?
Oh, I think he's going to throw out some running backs and maybe Noah as a kickoff returner because nobody returns. He even said it. Nobody returns kicks anymore in the league, which I think is a crying shame.
That part I completely understand.
But you mean who else is the backup punt returner?
Yeah, who else is going to be?
Maybe Preston Williams, baby. No, just
I mean, you know.
Preston does
a solid job for a big dude, man. He's
mentioned Javon Holland, which, you know, I'm like, okay. Like,
oh yeah, he did it. That's right. He did do it in college. Mm-hmm. That's right.
We'll see.
Will Noah be active this week because of the?
It don't matter.
Byron did practice.
Yes. Noah's issue is he can't contribute on special teams. Everybody's obsessed with Noah and why he's not playing and why he's not active. Noah's the fourth cornerback, really the fifth cornerback, because the sixth cornerback. Because
The other guys are special teams guys.
Because the other guys are special teams guys. But I think if something happened to Xavier, no, I can't even say that with a straight face.
It would take two injuries for him to play.
Yes. And there's a kid, Elijah Campbell, who they claimed off the Jets' roster on the way. And he killed it on special teams last week. Was phenomenal. And
that's probably why he was picked up.
Yeah. He's even jumped leapfrog Noah. So, you know, I believe in Noah's talents. I'm not going to do the dog pile. Right now, this is a situation where, just like Austin Jackson, the young man is in his head. And it's on coaches to build up the confidence and get them out their head to the point of putting them out on the field and trusting them and giving them roles that they can handle. Right now, especially against this opponent, like if we're playing Jacksonville, I say, yeah, give Noah a try as a boundary guy. Because I think Noah's comfortable as a boundary guy, nothing else.
Evans, Godwin, and Brown, yeah, no.
Yeah. give Noah a boundary job against Trevor Lawrence, not Tom Brady. That just makes
sense. And three number one wide receivers. Because they're all number one wide receivers.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, they could easily be number one wide.
Here's the problem that you have when you go into this lineup, and this is something that has to be discussed. Does Nick Needham have the speed to cover Antonio Brown?
Nobody has it. Nobody.
Yeah, you're right.
Not our guys, at least. Not our three guys.
I mean, who do you put on? Who do you put a healthy Byron on? Byron likes
Godwin.
Godwin. No, I think
I'm putting X on Mike Evans. I'm putting X on Mike Evans. I have to. He's the freak. I need the freak on the freak. Who the hell covers Mike Evans on this team?
X is nobody the freak.
First of all, nobody covers Mike Evans. But if somebody's going to cover Mike Evans and hang with him in the air, I got to go X, bro. There's no way.
You have to put X on the high volume play.
And because Godwin is such a technician running routes, I got to go Jones. And then, of course, I'm going to take my chance.
But Godwin's inside of the nickel. Jones isn't going inside. So you're going. It's Antonio or Antonio.
If he plays inside, then obviously you have no choice. Then Needham has to stay with him.
Yeah. If it's Nick, it could be Justin Coleman.
Every time I see Justin Coleman, Jesus Christ, dude. Kale Pectate should be the damn sponsor for the Dolphins. Why is that guy even on the team? I have a bigger problem with him than Albert Wilson.
Physicality.
I'm sorry. What did they see in Justin Coleman? I'm still trying to figure it out. I mean, he is terrible, bro. Seriously. Yeah, you're not saying anything. Why is he even still on the roster?
I always say this. I love Nick Needham from this standpoint. While he's not a super freak, Nick Needham's going to be in the league for 8 years. He's going to have a Nolan Carroll career. And Nick Needham has never been handed anything. They've never given Nick Needham anything. He's always taken it. And he's done it again this year. He's taken a job. He's taken a role. And Nick, I was talking to Gerald Alexander.
He's the Orlando Alzagiri of radio. They haven't given me shit.
They kept giving you back 560 shows. After they figured out
that they fucked up, yeah.
Yeah. You get them back. But I still.
In my career, you are the
Nick Needham of the South Florida Airways.
I have never been given a damn thing in my career. I'm not an ex-player that they hand you a job. I'm not somebody's sidekick that you can ride somebody's coattails. I'm not kissing the ass of the
program
the bosses
director.
And the program director. I can climb up like others do.
You are indeed the Nick Needham of the South Florida Airways. There is no question. You said it, and I was just like, you know what? Yeah, it fits. They have never given you anything that you didn't earn.
Nope, nothing. And you know what? I'm super happy about that. I'm glad that I've earned every damn thing I have and have had. So that's actually very satisfying.
Yeah.
Nobody got me in a Mad Dog. I don't know anybody there or nothing. They've straight out hired me. So I've never gotten any job because of a connection or anything like that. So yeah. I'm happy about that. Needham,
man, I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see Nick Needham get attacked by Tom Brady. And because you know he's going to be attacked by Tom Brady.
Oh, for sure.
I'm excited to see how he handles himself. Like he's grown up more than a lot of players that I've seen here. You know, Nick Needham might be better than the entire 2019 draft class, if you think about it. I'm excited to see what happens.
We said you can compare it to the street free agent class of Siler and Needham and Preston Williams, if you want, and just throw in a couple of those guys that they've gotten off the street, and they've been better, bro. They've been better than their draft picks.
And that's the one thing I asked Jean-Pierre Jean-Pierre, the offensive line coach, you know, about Austin's first round status. And he's like, that's the one thing about Flo. It don't matter how you got here. This is about the Dolphins. So you know.
I like that about Jimmy Johnson was like that too. He didn't give a shit if he screwed up.
They all give a shit.
No, but what I'm saying is, what Jimmy didn't care about, just like Flo, it may hurt that you screwed up on the pick, but the guy that helps you win is the guy you've got to play. And ultimately, that pays off in the locker room, because if the locker room sees that you're playing guys that don't deserve to play, you lose that effing locker room.
The one thing I will say about Joe Philbin, just piggybacking on this story, and I got to go because we're about to have availability.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the Joe Philbin, end of the Joe Philbin demise, Devontae Parker's rookie year, he signed with the Titans later.
The kid with the hands.
The name escapes me, but he eventually signed with the Titans, but he was killing it all camp. And you know, the coaches and the organization wants to play Devontae. And basically the team was like, listen, if you don't, I can't believe I can't remember his name.
I like him a lot.
Yeah. He's former seventh round pick. And they were like, if you don't play him and you play this rookie, we lose all respect for you. And they ended up playing him. And he was like a couple yards. He got injured before he became a 1,000-yard receiver here.
There it is. Joseph Rodriguez got it. Rashard Matthews.
That's what players recognize and respect. When you put in the hard work and you deliver and you produce, and they don't give you, they don't give the starting job to the rookie because he's the rookie. They give it to the guys who produce. And, that's been Nick Needham. Nick Needham, as I said, he's in the Orlando Alzigary of the radio airwaves Dolphins team. He has earned, and I'm not saying he's not going to get torched by Tom Brady, because Tom Brady does Tom Brady. This is the GOAT. But what I will tell you is, Nick's going to have three plays that game. He's going to make three plays that game, and he might get roasted for eight, but he's going to make three plays that game, and he's going to keep fighting it. And that's the kind of spirit that you need to have a winning team.
All right, on the way out, how much was the win by the Dolphins? What was your prediction? How much did the Dolphins win by on Sunday?
I have a 28-14 Tampa Bay. And they can sneak up on – if they play a perfect game, and that's the thing, they have to play a perfect game, they can beat Tampa Bay. They don't have a perfect game in.
You know what article I want to read?
What's that?
I want to read one of you dudes breaking down why these former Patriot guys slowed down Tom Brady. How did Patricia beat him? How did Belichick slow him down a couple of weeks ago? How Flo beat him? Yeah, but he slowed him down with a rookie quarterback. I mean, 17-16.
Man, it was raining. It was a monsoon.
Patricia beat him last year. Flo's beat him, twice?
Once,
right? Yeah. So I'm just saying, there's something there.
I don't think there's anything there.
Okay. All right. Later, brother. Be good. There you go. Omar Kelly. I think there's something there. I mean, Patricia beat him. Flo's beat him. Belichick slowed him down. Well, there's something that they see because they are familiar with him. I'm just saying. And that was our EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins report.